This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Good evening, I'm David Gale and welcome to The Informer. Tonight I'm joined by Paul McClure. On tonight's Informer, we'll be chatting with Simon Ruth, CEO of the Victorian AIDS Council, about their new campaign. Then we'll be talking with Darren Visor and Rory of the Devise Company about Stigma, a confrontational live theatre and movement performance examining prejudice, discrimination and HIV stigma. The Victorian AIDS Council has launched a powerful new campaign in the lead-up to World AIDS Day, reminding people that HIV is still a major issue worth addressing in Australia. Posters have been put up around Melbourne and its neighbouring suburbs bearing the slogans HIV and AIDS are not over, HIV affects everyone, and stigma is real for people with HIV. The campaign was partly created as a response to mainstream media reports earlier this year claiming that AIDS was over and no longer a public health issue in the country. Tonight we're joined by Simon Ruth, the CEO of the VAC, Victorian AIDS Council. Simon, are you there?
Hi, yes, Paul.
Great to have you on the show, on The Informer. No stranger to The Informer, of course. Tell us about the new campaign that's been launched.
So the new campaign has four slogans to it, and you've just said three of them. On the first run of the posters that went out, they forgot to put one up. So there's a fourth one that says, "There are more tools for HIV prevention than ever before." And it is partly in response to those media reports earlier in the year, which were designed to talk about how well we're doing in Australia compared to the rest of our region. But unfortunately, a lot of people got the message that AIDS is no longer an issue and HIV is no longer an issue. So we decided to do a new campaign with four quite strong messages. It's focusing on the general public as much as it is on our community. And it's looking at key messages for us about the issue is not over for us. We need to keep on. It's a strong prevention message. Sorry?
Yeah, Simon, it's funny because I picked up on this. I was talking to the drive team a little bit earlier on, and they were saying that, you know, if anything, maybe people that aren't in the LGBTI community are a little bit desensitised, and certainly, you know, by hearing that AIDS is over. And as well, you know, even ourselves in our community, we sort of see posters. These ones are a little bit more sort of confrontational. They're a little bit more in your face. So obviously you've designed that this campaign for that sort of reason.
Well, they were designed to be eye-catching. It's red writing in very large print on a white background. No pictures attached to this one. So it was designed, simple messaging as well, so it was designed to get the message out there. They have been described as strong and powerful. They've got a lot of attention on social media. So they've certainly got the message out there and we're getting a lot of attention for them. And probably one of the other key messages is around stigma. So there's messages around prevention and treatment, but there's also a strong stigma message on there. Earlier this year in another campaign, we asked three guys to go public with the HIV and on bus stations and tram shelters all across Melbourne from Dandenong through to Werribee and some suburban and some country areas. There were posters of three young men who talked about being HIV positive and that they're living well, and it was a campaign designed to get early treatment, the message about the benefits of early treatment out to people. But it's time we need to start putting a public face to HIV, and we need to start challenging people's ideas that everyone who has HIV doesn't do well, and we also need to challenge ideas that people with HIV have lost out or haven't done as well as other people. So we want to get a message out there that stigma is something that needs to constantly be combated in this space.
Yeah, stigma seems to be the next sort of frontier in certainly your campaigns. And also this campaign has been designed to target probably the general public a little bit more.
Well, yeah. So certainly with the messages earlier in the year, a lot of the general public thought that it was finished. And that includes parliamentarians and policymakers and government officials and people who keep funding us and keep allowing us to do the work we do. So we needed to remind them that the issues haven't gone away. Certainly we're doing well in Australia. People with HIV are living long and living well, and if we can get you onto treatment early and you're diagnosed today, you'll live a long and happy life. Not everyone in our community, though, is doing well. There's still a lot of people who were diagnosed in the 80s and 90s who we experimented on with a wide range of drugs, and they're not doing as well as everyone else in the community, and there are still a small number of people who die of AIDS each year. So, you know, we go back to the 80s when it was a person a day, and now it's probably a person every 2 to 3 weeks, but it's still a significant number. And on World AIDS Day, we have a memorial service every year, and we put the names of the people who've died throughout the year on the shards that hang in our positive living centre, and we'll be doing that again this year to remember those we've lost.
Yeah. Look, there's also a significant number of women that are turning up in data as well. There's obviously a risk for women. So, you know, how do you address that?
Well, it's a risk to the whole community. So, yes, even though it's primary, Australia's got an odd epidemic that it's so dominated by gay and bisexual men, which is unique in some parts of Europe as well, but it's not across the rest of the world. But certainly in Australia, we do have injecting drug users and Aboriginal communities and women featuring in our data. A lot of the heterosexual infections occur in newly arrived migrants and then people arriving with HIV and discovering they've got it when they get here. So it's different education campaigns that need to be delivered to them and delivered in local languages and through local community bases. And for programs like that, we work with the Centre for Ethnicity and Health at North Richmond Community Health there and also with Alfred Health to try and tackle those communities. And then Positive Women Victoria do an excellent job working with women who often lose out in HIV services because they're so male-dominated and we don't think about the needs of women, but Positive Women work there and we partner with them to try and bridge that gap for women who want to access our programs and to advocate for the needs of women.
Yeah, look, that's something we're going to be talking about a little further on later in the show. Look, also you mentioned Indigenous people. There's a campaign coming up, I believe, about it's sort of similar to the Down Under campaign for Indigenous people. Do you want to talk about that or is it a little bit too early?
No, so the drama Down Under, which people would know, Frank in his white underwear that's been running in Melbourne for the last 10 years.
And we all love Frank.
You see him up a couple of times a year with fire coming out of his underwear or snakes. And last year we ran the campaign The Four Seasons, which we tried to tag testing to the change of the seasons to remind people that it's something you need to do every 3 months. Mm-hmm. And when we put out that campaign, it starts in Victoria, but then it runs around the rest of the country. But the top end, and particularly the Northern Territory Arts Council, who we work a lot with, said, well, we don't have four seasons in the Northern Territory. We have 2 seasons, wet and dry.
Yeah.
And in the territory right now, right across the top end, they have a syphilis epidemic that is much greater than what we're seeing down here, and it's particularly targeting Indigenous populations. It targets the whole population, but with larger numbers of Indigenous people, it's targeting Indigenous people up there. So we're about to launch on the 3rd of December in Darwin. We'll be launching a separate version of the drama Down Under featuring Casey Conway, the rugby player, the former NRL player who came out of the closet and is an Aboriginal man. And that will be Wet or Dry, Sexy Health is Deadly. And so it'll be 4 pictures of Casey in 2 where he's quite worse and 2 where he's in a Northern Territory summer or Northern Territory dry season. So that's an exciting campaign to be launching up there, and certainly everyone in the Northern Territory is very excited about that campaign.
Yeah, it's quite groundbreaking.
We won't see it in Victoria, but I'm sure it will be right across social media when it comes
out. I'm sure we'll all see it. Look, also you mentioned that World AIDS Day is coming up, which is on Thursday week on the 1st of December. You mentioned the candle vigil. What else can we do to get involved?
So the candlelight vigil is on the Positive Living Centre, which is 51 Commercial Road, and that is a big event for us. Anyone's welcome to attend. You just walk in. It's an evening where there'll be some entertainment, and then we'll remember the people that we've lost, and there'll be a service attached to that. And Tim and Brady from Australian Marriage Equality is coming to speak at that and talking about his activism in Ireland before marriage hit, about what he did in the HIV epidemic over there. At 11 a.m. at the Alfred Hospital, there's a forum on called HIV Then and Now, No One Left Behind. It's been moderated by Commissioner Rowena Allen and will feature a number of different speakers from different parts of the epidemic, such as women and the transgender community and the Indigenous community. And then in Bendigo, we've got some events up there. There's a documentary being played at the Latrobe Visual Arts Centre.
And that's all part of VA country or VAC country.
Back country.
Yep.
And certainly we'll be handing out and selling ribbons right across the city. So if anyone wants to volunteer on the sale of ribbons and the distribution of ribbons, just get in touch with us and we can find you opportunities to do that.
Yeah, we'll certainly put a link on the podcast after the show. Also, the AGM and the VAC Awards are coming up this Sunday.
No, they were last Sunday.
I'm only a week out, but that's not too bad. So what happened during that period of the AGM and the actual awards?
You know, it was a great AGM. We always had big AGMs at back. I think we're only rivaled by Mardi Gras AGMs in our community. But we had Professor Edwina Wright go the Keith Harbour address, where she talked about her history as a very junior doctor working at Fairfield House and working with the first AIDS patient through to today, and how the work she does largely today is around prevention and how much the epidemic has changed in that time and what she's seen. And there were quite a few teary people in the room listening to Edwina tell her career, because many of the people in the room were her patients early on in those days and have gone through the journey with her. And we also gave out the VAC Awards this year. The President's Award went to Prep Access Now for setting up their access scheme through Swaziland and Green Cross Pharmacy that basically saw the price of PrEP for people importing it drop by about 70%, and the amazing work that they've done making PrEP available to the whole community. Our Media Award went to Mark Carney from Bendigo Advertiser. We gave out 4 life memberships. Jamie Gardner got a life membership. Bill O'Loughlin, who is involved in Harm Reduction Victoria and the drug user rights movement, got a life membership. Vicky Sinnott and Bruce Parnell, who've been long-time staff members and board members of the organisation and have maintained their work, Vicky with the trans community and Bruce in international HIV, also got life memberships. And Beth Greet, who helped establish Positive Women Victoria and was one of our early board members, and there's also an Aboriginal woman, and so she's been very active in the Aboriginal HIV space, got a life membership as well.
Pretty amazing stuff. Look, also, you did mention about PrEP. We've talked about it on this show before. It's the next frontier. Obviously, you're a partner with the Victorian State Government and the Burnett Institute. It'll be interesting to see some of the results coming out of the PrEPX trial to see what comes out. Maybe we can talk about that in the new year if some things come through.
Yes, that'd be great.
All right. Thank you once again, Simon Ruth, CEO of the VAC. Thanks for being on The Informer.
Thank you.
Stigma is a confrontational live theatre and movement performance examining prejudice, discrimination and stigma experienced by people living with HIV when entering into sexual relationships. It's a stunning and moving and enthralling performance unifying dance and theatre. Tonight we're joined by the director of Stigma, Darren Visor. Welcome, Darren.
Thanks for having me.
And of course, Rory is one of the performers of Stigma as well.
Yes, that's right.
Great to have you here too. Darren, where did you get the idea from?
Well, the idea came from my own internalised stigma, because I'm a HIV positive man who experiences stigma. And so I felt the need that I needed to confront the stigma which I have internally, and then also what I receive from external stigma. Going back on what Simon said, like, although Australia is doing much better in relation to HIV/AIDS response, stigma is still around and we are still dealing with HIV, and it's difficult for people who have been living with HIV.
Where's the first place you get where you experience stigma? Is it on a dating app?
Dating app.
Is that
app,
the first place?
One of the very, yes, absolutely, of course. People use the word clean. Are you clean? You know, there's the D&D, drug and disease-free. Disease-free is a big one.
Because we don't walk around the streets with a T-shirt saying I'm POS or something like
exactly,
that.
Exactly,
so, yeah. Stigma comes from there. Where else does stigma come from?
Well, we were discussing before that the first place it kind of comes is yourself. You're the first person that gets the information. You're the first person that has to deal with it. And you were saying that was kind of a big thing, Darren.
Self-stigmatising yourself, sort of.
And also, to reiterate what Rory was saying, like, before I became positive in myself, I can, you know, say this out in the open, I was, to a great degree, that some extent, that person who would be, I would stigmatise HIV. I was probably, you know, I was the worst kind. And I was living, because I was living in fear that I never wanted to get the disease, mm-hmm. the virus, sorry, because how bad it was. So I was already stigmatising myself before I became positive because of what was around in the 80s and 90s epidemic. So it was the fear, which I think is where it starts to perpetuate.
So you've talked about stigma personally, on a personal level, and you're going to take it out to the public. How will this performance come about? What's it going to tell us?
Do you want to elaborate?
Sure. Well, the main thing that I'm finding useful as an actor in the process is talking to people about their stories, their experiences, their lived experiences of living with HIV, whether it's been 15 years,
and you've had
20
some workshops
years.
Involving that sort of thing.
We have on a little scale, and we're going to go more into that in the next phase of the process, where we're inviting people to come into the rehearsal room. We'll do a creative workshop with them, and it's really about generating material and getting those lived experienced voices into the work so that it rings true to the people that are coming to see
so
it.
So the performance isn't really finalised. You're going to keep
not
on developing
at all.
It.
Yeah,
it's a, yeah. So it's basically a public development. This work's already had an early stage development with the support of LPV back in June, where we did engage the HIV community members. They came into process. They shared their lived experiences, and we helped form the content of their stories, which they shared through performance, and the actors used monologues and language to help storytell through theatre and dance of their community members' lived experiences. And this is a much larger scale, second stage development. It just happened to be a live public sharing. This work is like already been planned for midsummer 2017.
17 next year.
We're going to have normally a full season or go for like 10 days. So this is kind of a public development of storytelling about HIV stigma.
Now, I saw you perform at La Mama. How long ago would it have been? About a year ago?
Oh, I did No One Likes Me in January, and then
That's
2
the
years before that.
And you talked, and you actually performed a very interesting scene where you contracted the virus.
Yeah. So basically, I storytold a scene where I shared the sexual encounter with the man who I had sex with, who I believe that I contracted the virus with. I storytold that with darkness and humour and comedy, and also the truth. And that was really where I first went, you know what, this is really powerful. I have to unpack.
I was going to say, is this where it all developed from?
I think it just
kept going.
I think so, yeah.
All right, it's pretty amazing work. So that's how it started. There's also some funding required for this whole project. And I thought it was very interesting the way that you're raising funds.
Yeah, so we're using Possible to raise funds. We've got a Possible page where people can go on and make a pledge to support us through this next stage development.
They get a reward. Tell them about the reward.
Oh, yeah, there are rewards.
Yes, there's rewards, including a Pilates lesson with Darren himself. So you can come that. I think my mum pledged some money, and she gets to ask one of the first questions at the Q&A. We're having a Q&A after one of the shows, which, again, is another important part of making it something that's engaging the community
but also
and creating discussion.
For certain levels of pledges, you get tickets to the performance sorts of stuff. You raise quite a bit of money, but there is still some to go. So we'll make sure that the pledge site is linked to our podcast after this show, because it just looks really interesting.
You might as well pledge and get a free ticket and come along.
Well, it's the same as just pre-buying a ticket.
Exactly right.
And part of Midsummer, who else is supporting you?
The space dance company is really important to acknowledge. Living Positive Victoria, Victorian AIDS Council, also my company Device Co, which I set up as a platform, and also my friend Kim Davis and I, we're collaborating on this with other wonderful artists as well. We set up a platform called HIV Art because we felt it was important to have a platform. There's nothing like it in the world, where actually artists who are living with HIV who create art can actually have a platform to share, like a hub, their lived experiences.
Do you feel like the stigma is starting to be removed? Because we talked before with Simon from the VAC about, they're going to continue campaigns into the new year about that, because it's sort of the next frontier. But is it slowly being removed?
Look, in all honesty, it's getting better, but it still sucks.
Mm-hmm.
It really sucks. And it's daily, like it's still happening. And yes, there was a big response about ending where there's no more AIDS in Australia. But we're in a much better position. But I still live with it. I still wake up and I put a pill in my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And if And you, what's attached to putting a pill in your mouth reminds you that I have a virus in my body, which I'm host to. It's almost like a partner that never goes away, that's a bad partner. I kind of call it like my live-in boyfriend, that you have to live with daily. Like, it's not going away, even though it's managed.
All right. Well, that's quite interesting. There's also some talk about women living with HIV now. And in the world, there's actually more women living with HIV than men. What can you tell us about that?
That's been a very important part of this next stage development. The first development we did was just myself, Darren, and another actor, Sam. So it was just very gay man kind of orientated. But now we've expanded the boundaries to make it more inclusive. And Kim Davis is on board as a dramaturg. And we've got another performer, Tasha Flowers, who's coming in. And it's just really expanded out all the potential for the work, more voices.
Well, it's a wonderful the women's stories are so important, they're so relevant. They are often left out of the equation, and it's really important that their voices are heard, and because it's such an interesting, complex issue to be heard. And although stigma, in a way, it's the same, but the experience is completely different to a gay man and to a woman, and that kind of needs that it needs to be told, because there are plenty of women in Australia who are living with HIV, who are living in fear and shame. They can't come out because of maybe their community or religious community or cult community, wherever they position. So it's really important that their voices are heard.
Yeah, and I don't think there have been any other venues that really have addressed this sort of thing.
No, La Mama's been so supportive of this work. They're a huge campaign for my work and this type of work. And Rory knows quite a lot about La Mama and his history. And La Mama is just like an institution for artists like us.
What are you hoping to get out of this? What are you hoping to,
well,
for people, the audience, to take away?
Sure. Part of my research has been asking people, you know, and gay people, straight people, women, men, about, you know, what do you know about it? And people say, I don't know much.
Mm.
Some people say, I don't know the difference between HIV and AIDS.
Yeah.
And even as an actor coming on into this process, there was things I didn't know.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's been a learning curve for me, and hopefully through the public performances we can take a lot of people on that learning curve as well.
Yeah,
so where they can
as much about education as anything.
Exactly,
really,
right.
That's where it all starts. You know, knowledge is power. And
yeah, and it's also too, for me, as well as it being a very informative education kind of tool, for me it's through storytelling and theatre and performance that we share these experiences and these messages. But for me it's about, I want the people in the audience to know what it's like when you are discriminated against or treated differently because you are carrying a virus which potentially could infect you if you were, for example, not being treated. And this, let them understand and feel how challenging it is to live with HIV on a daily basis still, even though medication and all the wonderful stuff that's come out, it's still really challenging.
And the expressive nature of theatre makes it such a good platform to make the invisible visible, which is putting the voices out there, putting them in people's faces, you know, so they have to confront their own stigma.
Yeah.
And go, oh, that's different. I didn't think of it like that.
It's pretty amazing that we're having a conversation like this. I mean, we certainly wouldn't have been talking about HIV in these terms maybe 10 years ago, and certainly 20 or 30 years ago, it would have been a completely different conversation. So it actually shows a certain maturity as far as how far we've come in prevention and also in campaigns, but that we still have certain distance still to travel. Mm.
Yeah, and I mean, I was having a chat today with Brent Allen from LPV, and we were having an open dialogue about stigma and what it is now and what it was in the 80s and how far we've travelled. And, and even though, the impact of the epidemic was so kind of abhorrent to now and how far we've grown, the stigma is still the same.
And those mm-hmm. images from that early period are still the first thing that jump into a lot of people's
Absolutely,
heads.
Because growing up in the 80s and seeing the Grim Reaper ads, it was all about fear.
Weren't we? Oh, shit, you
it
were
was
so
terrifying.
I was petrified.
Yeah, but you were yeah, absolutely. The bowling ball.
Seeing those ads on TV, and that clearly were designed to incite fear in people.
And that's what I want to get at.
That's what we've got to undo.
Yeah, and that, yeah. and that's where I want to get at personally for me, because there's that, that anxious, oh, shit, what if I get it? You know, that type of... fear that runs through you was running through my body at the time. You're just coming out gay, and then I'm gay, I've discovered boys, and then this virus comes along. It's like, god, that's a mood killer.
It would be a bit of a mood killer. Look, I hate to kill the mood right now. We've been talking to Darren Visor and also Rory from the production, upcoming production called Stigma, which will have links to all sorts of things about their performance coming up in midsummer next year. And I'd like to thank my two guests. Thank you, Darren, and also Rory.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.